wrote as follows. The Jews are consigned to a curse which enters into their very bowels like water, into their bones like oil. Cursed in the cities and cursed in the fields. Cursed in their going in and cursed in their going out. Cursed the fruit of their wombs and of their lands and their flocks. Cursed their cellars, their granaries, their warehouses, their food, and the very remnants of their food, so that none of them may escape that curse so monstrous and so horrible, except through Jesus, who for them is a curse. Now, this climate that was created caused a series of pogroms unmatched in the previous history of Europe. In our time, it's small chicken feed. We're talking maybe 25,000 Jews killed. Auschwitz at its height could do that in 3 days. But again, you have to remember that in the Middle Ages, till our time, till we became technologically adept at killing people, everybody had to be killed by hand. There were no machines that did it. And, you know, you could stand all day and stick somebody with your sword, but after a while, your arm gets tired. No matter how vicious and awful a person, your arm gets tired. You can't do it anymore. So there's a limit, there's a physical limit to how many people you can kill. In the modern world, there is no physical limit. That is what technology has created for us. We have unlimited possibilities. The killing machines are not tired at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. They have limitless energy. Limitless energy. Because of that, it is not surprising, or it should not be surprising to us, what happened to the Jewish communities in the Rhineland and in France during the First Crusade. What is surprising is that any of them survived. That is what is surprising. Just the opposite. What is also surprising, that in the midst of such horror, in such a time, Rashi and his family are developing the great schools of scholarship that I discussed with you last week. And Rashi is written during this period of time. You could not imagine it from reading Rashi that this is the time that we're talking about. Rashi reads as though he's sitting on the French Riviera, sipping a mint julep, right, and clipping his coupons. He hasn't got a care in the world. His only problem is to get the right shot in the Gemara. You don't hear the howl of the mob from the commentary of Rashi. Yet this is the time that we are talking about. In the year 1096, as the Crusaders left France, Raymond, Guy, Godfrey of Bouillon, the other leaders of the French knights, the first Crusades were almost exclusively French, the first Crusade. In fact, they were called Franks. The Frankish knights. It's very interesting to note, just as an aside, today in Israel, or not today, but for the past 100 years, 150 years in Israel, the Ashkenazic Jews have called the Sephardic Jews Franks. How did that come about? It came about as follows, that when the French knights came to Palestine, so the Arabs, the Muslims, called them Franks. Frank meant someone who wasn't a Muslim. So then the Muslims called the Jews who lived there also Franks, because they were not Muslims. Almost all the Jews who lived there were Sephardic Jews. So when the Ashkenazic Jews came, they picked up the Arab name, Franks, and they applied it to Sephardic Jews. Which is just an example of the ironies of language and of history.